And I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And we are delighted that you are here. I am going to break from our newer tradition and do make one announcement at the beginning. I'll do more at the end. But you see the blue envelopes, and there's some on the inside aisle of the pews. Those are for poinsettias. We're getting a little late start on that this year, and you probably understand why, as we are doing some transitions. But we would simply ask, if you're interested in doing that, that you would take those envelopes and help us with that as quickly as possible, so we'll have time to order those flowers. The cost is $8.50 apiece. Psalms 118 says, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Would you pray with me? Lord, we're here. And you're here. What an amazing thing that can be. When we're in your presence, gathered as your people to worship you in spirit and in truth. How you can change us and transform us and make us more than we could ever make of ourselves. How you could do those things in our life that would make our family different. Make our community, our neighborhood, our friends different. Lord, that's what you want to do. So would you speak to us? Would you give us ears to hear what your Spirit will say during this time of worship, that we might hear every word you have for us? In Jesus' name.
Words are different, but the tune will be familiar, the Hymn to Joy from Beethoven's Choral Symphony. 585, tell it out with gladness, please. Let us stand, please.
Most gracious Heavenly Father, it is with great gladness that I come today thanking you for all the blessings that you have bestowed upon us this past week. Father, we ask that you might be with those that are not here today, that are sick, that are traveling. Be with our youth as they come back from Camp Caswell. Father, we ask that you bless the tithes and offerings that are received today to further thy kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay. Good morning. Glad to have you guys this morning. We're going to talk about being ready this morning. Have a flashlight here. Y'all like to play with flashlights? I think we all do, don't we? I'm sure we've all used one, and it's important to use in the case of an emergency. See, I can turn that on, and it's ready to go. It even has a little flasher on it. This would be great in the time of an emergency, wouldn't it? And we all keep one close by. Do you have a fire drill in your school so you can learn to be ready for a fire? The bell rings maybe three short times, and you line up and can't run, and you go outside, don't you, in a safe place. And then when everything's okay, the bell rings, and you go back in. You're getting prepared for the real thing. Maybe a tornado drill. You stay inside, and you go to the center of a building in a safe place, don't you? And then you do something called duck and cover, and that prepares you to be ready for a tornado. It's important to be prepared when something unexpected happens. Most people keep that flashlight close by, and our cell phones even have a flashlight on them, don't they? So that we are ready. It's good to be prepared. Well, Jesus told us a story once in the Bible about being prepared. There were 10 bridesmaids, and they took their oil lamps, and they went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, because when they had their lamps, they didn't take any extra oil with them. And when it was time to meet the bridegroom, they were out of oil. The other 5 bridesmaids were wise because they were well prepared, because they brought plenty of extra oil with them to meet the bride, the bridegroom. So when it was time to go to meet the bridegroom, they were prepared. I want to read you from Matthew, verse 13 in chapter 25. It's very short, but listen carefully. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. You do not know the day or the hour. Jesus teaches us that we must be prepared as Christians, because one day we will meet him. We don't know when, do we? We do not know. But we learned that to be prepared to meet Jesus, we need to follow his teachings, and we need to tell others about his teachings, and then we will be ready. We will be prepared to meet Jesus when it happens. Don't be like this flashlight. This flashlight is not ready. No matter how many times I mash this, it doesn't come on. It isn't ready. I think it needs a battery. Well, Jesus is our battery, isn't he? If we follow his teachings, we will be ready. Okay? Let's have a prayer. Dear Jesus, one day we will meet you, and we pray that we will be ready. Thank you.
As the children return to their seats, please turn to hymn number 564, Make Me a Channel of Blessing. Let's stand as we sing.
Thank you.
Let me invite you to open your bulletin to our prayer concerns today, and we'll begin with 34 who have been the weekend at Fort Caswell, Camp Caswell, and our youth on their retreat be coming back. We are grateful for those seven adults and 27 younger folks that are there, and we want to be remembering them as they'll be coming in this afternoon. You'll look at our prayer list. There are many that we want to be remembering in our prayers. Ernestine Bridges has been in the hospital this week. She's home. We want to continue to remember her. Atlas Phillips is still in the hospital. We want to keep Atlas in our prayers in a very special way. Anthony Harrington also has spent some time in the hospital this week, but I tried to call him before this morning. I didn't get an answer. We want to continue to remember him. Elaine Harris, they tried to do the heart conversion to get her rhythm back, and they were unable to do that, so she's got more tests coming. We want to keep her lifted up. Richard O'Quinn had heart ablation this week. We want to remember him in our prayers in a very special way. As you see by now, the list is long of folks that have had real issues this past week. We want to keep them all lifted up. And then you'll also see that this the family of Roy Smith, that service will be here at our church 2 o'clock this coming Saturday. We want to be remembering the Smith family in our prayers. Pray with me. God, we are grateful for those people who were channels of your blessing to us, who met us in our time of need, whether it be spiritual or emotional or physical, and you use them as your grace and as your mercy. And so as we see this list of names, and we know of others that may not be on this list that you are even now placing on our heart and our mind, we pray as we sang, make me a channel of blessing, my life possessing, my service blessing. And God, would you use them, use us to minister unto them. And God, I just pray that in a very special way today, you would allow your Spirit to speak to our hearts. We are blessed with a marvelous church, and as we begin to move into the Thanksgiving season, we are mindful that we have much to be thankful for. And God, we are mindful that we need you, and that you inhabit the praise of your people. And when we allow you to be what our driving force for Thanksgiving really is, then we shall indeed find ourselves giving thanks. Would you continue to speak to us now in ways that when we leave this building today, we might be ready, as Martha mentioned. Maybe today, spiritually, we have burned out batteries. Maybe today you will change the batteries or charge up the ones we have, that we might go from this place with the gospel message which changes lives. In Jesus' name, amen. thank you, choir, for that tremendous message. And you did it very well. You did it very well. The thought that caught me during that anthem was, it was our sin that held him on the cross. What a powerful image. What great love our Lord has for us. I'd invite you to open your Bibles to Luke's Gospel, the 19th chapter. We're going to read the first 10 verses. It's a story that we all learned. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. Zacchaeus is going to be our guest teacher today. He's going to teach us some lessons that could change our homes, change our hearts, change our habits, change our community. I believe God needs to change us. It doesn't take an awful lot of observation to realize what a broken world we live in. We pray for the people of Paris. We pray for the world. As we continue to battle those who are so full of anger and really hatred that they believe is, in their mind, God-induced, which is never the nature of the God I love and serve. And yet tragedy. And in this world, I don't know, I just think we need to be climbing some trees. I think we need to be looking from some different places to see what God might be saying. If you're able, let me invite you to stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's Word. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. The he that we're going to refer to in the beginning is Jesus. And he entered Jericho and was passing through. And there was a certain man named Zacchaeus. And he was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small of stature. And he ran on ahead, and he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him. And he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up, and he said to Zacchaeus, "Hurry and come down. I must stay at your house today." And so he hurried and he came down. And he, Zacchaeus, received him, Jesus, joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. "He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." May God add his blessing to the reading and the hearing of his most holy and precious word. Would you pray with me? God, would you speak to us for a moment that we might listen to Zacchaeus and what your Spirit said to him. May your Spirit say to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I'm going to begin by asking us a rhetorical question. Let me remind you of rhetorical questions. That means you don't answer out loud. You just answer in your own mind. If you have a room in your house that no one occupies on a regular basis, is that your guest room or is that your spare room? Don't answer out loud. I've heard it called both, the guest room. I've heard it called the spare bedroom or the spare room. And if we're going to be all the way honest, I've heard it called the junk room too, okay? I've heard that designation. Guest in our house seems to be another casualty of the new day. What a life-changing event would be if we understood, I mean really understood, that Jesus, his teachings, his way, were going to go to home with us. The title of the sermon is When Jesus Goes Home With You. Some of you are probably thinking, well, that's okay, preacher. I'm not going home. I'm going out to eat when I leave here. Work with me. What happens when Jesus goes home with us? Well, I said Zacchaeus will be our teacher. Let's look at what happened to him. The first thing I think that becomes very obvious, because the one thing that happens after the complaint in verse 7 and the testimony of Zacchaeus in verse 8 is not mentioned, but obviously Jesus went and shared with him the good news, the gospel, the life-changing power. And then we hear his testimony. And in verse 8, and Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord he stood and said, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I'll restore it fourfold. The first thing that Zacchaeus teaches us is there must be a change of heart. Now, home is not always what it really needs to be, is it? Don't we all know that? I heard a story about a little boy that was sitting on his front steps, and as maybe he had seen his dad do, he had just kind of buried his head in his hands and was kind of shaking his head in his hands. And his dad came in and said, Honey, what's wrong? What's wrong? The little boy looked up and said, Well, just between us, Dad, I'm having trouble getting along with your wife, too. Is there any trouble at home? Are we struggling? Is it where it needs to be? Zacchaeus' home wasn't where it needed to be. It starts off saying he was chief tax collector. And ironically, in doing some reading this week, that term is not used anywhere else in the Bible, the chief tax collector, and it's not used anywhere else in ancient literature. Luke was trying to make a statement, because Luke also talks about chief sinners. The chief tax collector, and he was rich. So we would think his home would be eloquent. It would be marvelous. It would be the best that money could buy. But when the heart's not right, the home's not right. Amen. When the heart's not right, the home's not right. In Zacchaeus' heart, it wasn't right. He was a hard-hearted person. When he said, if I've defrauded anyone, he might not have been totally intellectually honest. He knew he had defrauded some people. Lots of people. Because that was the way tax collectors made their money. They had the Roman guard at their beck and call. And even though they were of Israel's seed, they robbed their brothers. Are we robbing our neighbors? Jesus today, I think, as he did in Zacchaeus' home, and it's amazing how many times Jesus went to homes. It seems most of his ministry was going from home to home. The early church started going house to house. Jesus knew Zacchaeus, and Jesus knows we need some heart adjustments today. But if we don't invite him in, those adjustments won't occur. It's only when we have a change of heart that Then Jesus goes home with us. It's when we change how we see and think and feel. Now, I am not a NASCAR fan. Yes, I was born in the South, but I am not a NASCAR fan. But I know just enough. Have you ever wondered why they don't just set the car up at the first of the year? Why do they even need a pit crew? Just let them run that car the way they set it up that first time all year round. They don't do that, do they? I used to live in North Davidson County, which is near Welcome, North Carolina. And if you don't know where Welcome, North Carolina, that's where Richard Childress has his headquarters. And you can ride down the road outside of Welcome and you can hear those NASCARs running a long way off. And they're adjusting them and they talk about changing out the motors. Why do they tweak them all the time? Well, again, I don't know a lot, but they say the track condition changes and things might not be exactly right. And maybe in moving the car, it wasn't exactly tuned to the level. Or maybe during the race, something doesn't go quite right and they have to make some adjustments. Well, if NASCAR needs to make those adjustments on those race cars, isn't it also true that you and I, we can't just walk down the aisle one time and say, I want to give my heart to Christ, and Lord, you don't need to do anything else. I'm right where I need to be. No, we need to be adjusted all the time. All the time we need to be adjusted. That's why we talk about a daily devotion, because we need to be adjusted. That's why we say that once a week we want to come to this place and gather in this place and worship the Lord in spirit and truth, because we want the Holy Spirit of God to move in our midst and make some adjustments. We're a week older, aren't we? We've all had different experiences that when we were here last week, we haven't had those. We didn't have those experiences. We faced different failures and different successes. We need the spiritual pit crew to adjust our life's motor, our heart. When we take Jesus home with us, we begin to have those adjustments. In verse 6, it says that he received him joyfully. Zacchaeus received him joyfully. How do you receive Jesus? You know, I'm guessing that some of us do it out of obligation. We've received him because that's what we're supposed to do. We're Christian. We've kind of lost touch with that daily walk with God. We've kind of lost touch with Jesus walking with me and talking with me along life's narrow way. And so we're here today more out of our obligation than any other reason. Now, I'm glad you're here. But have we received him joyfully? What would happen if today you and I were just to begin to pray, Lord, I just joyfully want you to go home with me. I just want you to come into every area of my life and penetrate it. If today we only do the customary thing, we'll get the customary result. But what if today we realize the obstacles that might keep us from seeing the one who really wants to go home with us? Zacchaeus ran into some obstacles, didn't he? He was short and the crowd was late. Maybe he didn't get there quite as early as he needed to get there. And he couldn't get up and he wanted to see him. And so he decided to climb up in that tree. I wonder if we need to climb a tree today. I've got friends who deer hunt, and if you'll see my phone, a lot of times I'll start off the question, are you in a tree? Might look weird if you didn't know about deer hunting, but a lot of times you do that in a tree. Well, let me ask you, are you in a tree today? Have you climbed up over the obstacles of your life, the things that would hold you where you are, that when you leave the worship center, you'll be exactly the same way you were when you entered the worship center? And if you do, brothers and sisters, then our worship has not affected you as God would have it to do. Would we be willing to climb up and get over the obstacles to invite Jesus to be joyfully received into our hearts? Jesus makes a difference when we take him home with us. He makes a big difference. A visiting preacher had the opportunity to stay as he was visiting in I remember when we did that. I remember as families, when my daddy was pastor, we'd go for revivals and other places, and the whole family would go and stay with folks. Folks we had never seen, they'd never seen us. And we'd go stay in those guest rooms. Well, this visiting preacher was staying with a widow. He arrived there on Saturday before he was preaching on Saturday. And he got up in the morning, and when he got up, he opened the curtains of his room and he looked out at the beautiful scene. Out in the distance were beautiful pastures. But he was intrigued because someone, maybe in a childlike way, in childlike writing, had scratched into the glass these words: "This is the day." At breakfast, he was so intrigued by that, he asked his hostess, was it done by a grandchild who had been playing and had some kind of sharp glass-cutting object? No, she said. I did it myself. I used my diamond engagement ring. And then she explained she had lost her husband some years previously. And there were times that she would throw open the window and look out at the beauty of the countryside. But through her despair and through her depression and through her loss, she could not see it. Then one morning, in a moment of bleak despair, she said, she opened her Bible for her daily Bible reading, and she turned to how I began our worship this morning, Psalms 118, verse 24. And the Holy Spirit began to speak to her. The verse is, "This is a day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." And now, as every day began, no matter what the weather, no matter how she was feeling, every day when she began her day by throwing open the curtains, I want to see my day looking through the promises of God. I want to start my day and see the world as I look through the promise. So scratched into that glass was the first part of Psalms 118:24. This is the day. God wants to go home. He wants to scratch on our windows. He wants us to see His promises. He wants us to view the world in a different way. I remember when I was a child, and that's when we had Sunday morning and Sunday night, you know. And so that worked out well for us kids, because we could find somebody at Sunday morning, and we could either maneuver ourselves an invitation, or maybe they'd just invite us. And they'd say, "Hey, do you want to come to my house today?" And I remember all going, finding Mom, finding Dad. "Ricky's invited me to his house. Can I go home with Ricky after church?" See, I didn't have any concept. That meant they had to fix me lunch. They had to fix me supper. I didn't have any of those concepts. I just knew the afternoon, Ricky and I would have a grand old time. That was a good thing. You ever said to somebody, "Well, next time you're on time, y'all come by the house"? I want to suggest to you that sometimes we come to worship and we give that obligatory, "Lord, just come on by the house any old time." But that's different. That's different than me going and finding Mama and saying, "Mama, can I go to Ricky's house this afternoon? I want to go this afternoon." You see the difference? Because if you're like me, when you give that, "Y'all come by sometime," I don't put that on my calendar, do you? I don't get the guest room ready, do you? That's just a thing you say. "How you doing? Fine." We just say that. May be true, may not be true. We just say it. But there's a difference when you say, "Can I go?" He's already asked his mom and dad, and they said it's okay. "Can I go to his house today?" That's what Jesus wants. God wants us to let Him come home with Him, with us today, in order that He might change some things. what needs to be changed. First is probably some habits. You'll never change a habit till you change a heart. You can write that down. You'll never change a habit till you change a heart. You'll never change a habit till you change your heart. I heard a fellow say he got tired of being angry at his neighbor every time he saw it. He just went off the handle. And he said, well, you ought to stop. He said, well, I can't stop it. I just can't stop it. He said, yeah, you can. He kind of looked at him. You know, you ever heard somebody, I just can't do anything. I just hate it. I don't want to do it, but I just can't help it. You ever said that? I said, yeah, you can change it. He said, I can't. He kind of, you know. He said, I tell you what, next time you do it, you go write the church a check for $10,000. And if you do it twice, write the check church another check for $10,000. And by the third check, I promise you, you'll stop it. You'll stop it. We can change. But we got to change our heart before we can change our habits. We're all working on habits. And Jesus said, I don't work on your habits. I'm going to work on your heart. And then the habits will change themselves. Zacchaeus was a taker. He was successful. He wasn't successful because he was a nice guy. He was successful because he had found his way to become what Luke called the chief tax collector, the top of his line. And because in Jericho, balsam was a big export, it was a wonderful place for a lot of money to come. And if you were a tax collector in an area, in a port where there was a lot of money, you could make a lot of money. And he did. He was a taker. And we live in a taker society, don't we? The society in which you and I live, it is a taker society. It's all about, I bet you've had a conversation with someone this week and you said something like this. Boy, I got a deal over there. Oh, you should have seen how I worked that one out. Oh, boy, I got a deal. We're a taker. We're told that's good if you're a taker. We're told that's what you ought to be. You ought to be a negotiator. You ought to be able to close the deal. You ought to be able to be successful in life. That was his habit. What's your habit? What's my habit? What is that one habit that maybe today we've even said, I just can't do anything about it? If you invite Jesus to come home with you today, he'll begin to work on that. Zacchaeus became a giver, from a taker to a giver. From a taker, look, what kind of words are coming out of, I imagine somebody might have fainted when they heard Zacchaeus say that, if they were in the room. This man who had become rich off the trade of cheating his brothers and had been very successful said, Lord, I give half my goods to the poor, and if I've taken anything, I'll give it back four times. It's almost as though Zacchaeus was saying, I'll give it all away. It's an amazing habit change. When Jesus goes to your house, salvation has a way of doing that to us. When we take Jesus deep into our heart, we begin to see things differently. We begin to see people differently. We begin to see ourselves differently when we take Jesus home with us. Because when you invite Jesus home with you, what you're really doing is inviting the love of God home. The love of God. A bell is not a bell until you ring it, and a song is not a song until you sing it. The love in your heart was not put there to stay. Love is not love until what? You give it away. We're a channel of blessing. We get it. We come Sunday. We go to our devotion time. We go to our prayer time. We go to our walk with God. We receive His blessings. And then we become like Zacchaeus. Instead of being takers, we become givers. If the church is full of takers, we're in trouble. But if the church is full of givers, then God will be honored and glorified in who we are. And we will be giving that love away, as Zacchaeus teaches us. And then finally this morning, when our heart is changed, the habits will change. And when the habits change, the home will change. Habits won't change till the heart changes. Home won't change till the habits change.
Zacchaeus was a chief sinner. Maybe that's why Luke called him the chief tax collector. It seems, though, that, and this, oh, what a great lesson, this last lesson, I hope you get it. You see, we might think that Zacchaeus climbed up that sycamore tree just because he was starstruck. Maybe we think he climbed that tree just because he had an enormous curiosity. I don't think so. Maybe we think he just said, well, there's a big crowd. There must be something to see. And I'm too short to see it. I'll climb up the tree. I don't think so. You know, I don't like going to big crowds. Sitting on church. I love big crowds on Sunday morning. Praise God. I love big crowds on Sunday morning. Love getting in that big crowd. But you know, if I go somewhere and I look and the parking lot's full, even if I got tickets, if I can get everybody in the car to vote, we go home, we go home. I just don't like big crowds. I got a feeling Zacchaeus might have had some of that. You know, I know what I'd have done. If I saw that big crowd, I said, shoot, I'm not getting in that. I'm going home. I don't think his motivation was curiosity. I don't think he was just simply wanting to see someone that he'd heard something about. I think, this is what I think, and this is a question maybe we ought to ask ourselves. I think Zacchaeus knew something in his life wasn't right, and he needed help. Do we see something in our life that isn't quite right where we need help? Home can change. That little boy's right. Sometimes we do have problem with your wife. Sometimes we have problem with each other. Sometimes we have problem with ourselves. But I wonder if today we would invite Jesus to come home with us. You see, when salvation came to his home was changed. That's what happens. Unlike company that we have to clean up before they come, Jesus says, invite me to come home and I'll help you clean up. Oh, that's good. That's good. What do we need to clean up? Would we be honest before God today? We've come to worship Him, amen? We've come into His presence. We got all dressed up. Here we are. We need a word, amen? We'd like for God to say something to us. We'd like to leave with a little better flavor of God in our mouth and in our heart and in our life, amen? What needs to be cleaned up? Would you let the Holy Spirit have it right now? Would you just give it to the Holy Spirit? Say, God, this isn't right in my life, and I know it's not right. I've been lying to others and lying to myself about it, but it's not right, and I know it's not right. And I'm up in a tree right now, God. Then I want you to hear what Jesus is going to say. You ready for what Jesus is going to say? Gary, come on down. I need to go to your house today. I need to go home with you. We need to make some changes. We need to do some things differently, Gary. I want to go to your house. You and I will have a conversation today. We'll talk. You and me. We'll talk. And when we talk, your heart's going to be changed. And when your heart's changed, your habits are going to be changed. And when your habits are changed, your home's going to change. And when your home changes, your community's going to change. Your church is going to change. Your co-workers are going to change. Your schoolmates are going to change. I love what Jesus said as he closed it out. Today, salvation has come to the house. For the Son of Man came to seek to save the lost. That's still what he wants to do. Not programs, but people. That's his goal for the church. What would happen? What would happen if we were to spiritually say and become like that 10-year-old and run to whoever it be we'd run and say, hey, would it be all right for Jesus to come to our house this afternoon? Oh, I remember how it made my day when I could go to Ricky Ward's. What would happen? Change of heart, change of habit, change of home.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, you're speaking to us now about those things in our life. And we're looking from the tree. Like Zacchaeus, we have some need, oh God. Maybe someone today needs to make some decision for you that would change everything. You know every need. You know every heart. You know every sin that held you on the cross. You know every issue that right now may be challenging us, and we may feel our heart quickening just a little bit because now we're having that spiritual debate. Do I make this decision or do I leave the worship center like I came in and just put it off for one more day, one more week, one more month, one more year, one more lifetime? Oh, Lord, you know every need. You know every decision that if we were to make it for you, it would begin to make those changes in our heart, in our habits, and in our home that we so desperately want to have made. Change us from takers to givers. As we now speak only to you. And Lord, give us the strength to say, Jesus, I joyfully receive you into my home, into my heart, into my habits. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing hymn and our hymn of decision is page 572, I Love to Tell the Story. This morning, if God is speaking to your heart and you need to make some decision, whether public or private, but all friends, don't let a private decision mean no decision. Maybe it'd be better to walk the aisle and make that decision public than it would to only half-heartedly make it where we sit. As the Spirit leads, may we respond as we stand together.
Oh,
seated for just a moment. Jimmy, come stand with me. And Jimmy just reminded me, and he shouldn't have had to, but he did, that this is his anniversary of being with us. You started as interim, and then, so we haven't got you official yet, but still been with us for a year. And many of you may know that his wife is transitioning from being the music minister at Westwood Baptist Church to becoming the pastor at Trinity Christian Church, Liberty Christian Church in Henderson, North Carolina. And so Jimmy is moving. Yeah, some of you are looking around and going, oh, no, well, but I got good news. He's not going anywhere. He's just going to have a little longer commute coming to be with us. And so today, because of that transitioning, he is going to move his letter, or he's asking to move his letter from Westwood Baptist Church to Flat Springs Baptist Church. Do I hear a motion that we receive him into our membership? Motions and second. All those that would join me in welcoming him indicate that by saying amen.
Amen.
Jimmy, we are delighted God brought you our way a year ago, and we're delighted now that you are officially a part of our church family. I'm trying to think, is he going to do the closing? He's going to be with me, and you can come by and wish him a happy anniversary, although he might have another anniversary when he became full-time, but we'll mention that too. And also extend to him the right hand of Christian fellowship. And the way I define that is that when you either hug his neck or give him that, that you commit as a brother and sister in Christ to pray for him and to help him be all that God would have him to be as he helps us as a church be all that we can be. Would you stand with me? We pray for our youth who are traveling. We pray for all those on our prayer list. As far as announcements, read those. Do note, again, the poinsettias, if you'd like to put those in honor or in memory of. We have a kind of short window there. We would appreciate your expedient help and that we could have them for the hanging of greens in just a couple of weeks as we will be celebrating the beginning of Advent on the first Sunday of Advent. And now, as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace and in God's power and in God's abiding presence, that we might be his heart, habit, home, change people in the midst of all these people. Would you pray? God, go with us from this place, because there is much work in the kingdom that needs to be accomplished. Help us and equip us that we might be the channel of blessing that others would see you in us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.